Maybe I should just make fun of him for being a Canadian. That was always...
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, let's go for that low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, exactly. This is a less classy show than the Squadcast.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. So, Canadian bacon.
Isn't that just ham?
That's not like American bacon.
Yeah, we just call it bacon.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. I should say the Squadron of Shame presents the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
You can say that.
I can. So welcome, and this is for the week of March 6, 2009. See, you thought that I would have an easier time with the date because you wrote it out for me, but it was in numbers, and I had to still in my brain say
January, February, March.
What does this 3 mean?
I have that problem all the time.
Hey, hear that, everybody?
That was Beige.
Beige is on the show.
What up?
Which is a thrill for me. I mean, Beige was, he was the rock star, man.
Was that guy you listen to One Up Yours and are always like, we have a message from Beige and it's 3 pages long. You're
man,
like,
that was
this guy.
Now I'm more like that washed up rock star, like Iggy Pop. Like I'm kind of cadaverous and just poke my head in every now and then to say something.
You've just been too busy. I've been
living in a cave building the Squadron of Shame webpage.
And it is glorious.
Right. I hope you're done soon, though, man. I kind of miss you a bit, you know?
I'm back. I'll be back. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah,
once the Squadcast gets going.
Well,
we can tell our listeners now, for the first time ever, there's something actually at squadronofshame.com. So anybody who wants to check it out should go look. The Exploding Barrel is prominently featured.
Yes, we are. Our logo and everything. It's fun stuff. Yeah. Also, a brand new logo. So, holy shit.
It's new?
Yeah, it's
We're
a new logo.
Coming.
You never saw the new logo?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That one.
Thanks, AJ. Anyways, our show today. Well, we're going to start off with news. How's the news look, Adge Guy?
It's plentiful.
That's good. Then we're going to go on to Game of the Year's Past, this time 1989. Got a
great year.
Yeah, we got a it is a great year. I mean, I remember it well. We got a lot of feedback from people on Twitter.
It's become a very popular segment.
It has, because that's that Web 2.0 shit.
It's that Web 2.0 shit, yeah.
It's the next new thing.
That's what we're all about.
So we'll do that. Then we're going to go on to the Great American Adge Guy Gaming Quiz. Once again, inspired entirely by games from 1989. You have no chance, by the way.
Beige, I foresee you getting a lot of gold stars on this one.
Maybe.
Only if it's the Great American / Canadian Gaming Quiz. Then I'll participate.
I used to write them for Mike.
Flip-top head are boycotting the entire event.
When I wrote them for Mike, for some reason it was the Great Canadian Mike Source Game Quiz. I don't know why it was.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. All the other gaming quizzes, I've just been clawing at the screen and like screaming. So.
No, you idiots. Be older.
It's Rygar. Rygar, goddammit. Yeah,
that right. Wasn't even a quiz. That was just us making a mistake. Anyways. Actually, Beige, there is one question in there specifically for you.
Oh, good.
Right on.
That means I have no chance.
You are going to enjoy it. So, and then after that, we're going to talk about our week in gaming and everything we've been playing.
It's copious.
It's what?
Copious. Bountiful.
Cornucopious.
What?
Yeah, cornucopia. It's plenty.
You know what's another word for copious?
A lot.
A lot. Bountiful.
That.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyways, and then after that, where I'm going to go into the weekly game releases, first with the downloadable game releases, then with the real retail stuff. Then we're going to look over at Derek Robbins' top 10 list over on 411 Mania. Top 10 Pokemon games. Oh, man.
Yes.
I will sadly probably have played all of them.
Yeah. No, I mean to play like the Ranger games if they're on there. I don't know.
I played any of them.
I'll heckle from the sidelines.
Okay.
That's Pokemon Snap is my entire experience with Pokemon. Except for Smash Brothers.
Fair enough.
I don't really count that.
Did you enjoy Pokemon Snap?
I did. And I'd be happy to talk about it if it's on that top 10 list.
All right, good.
All right.
Well, shall I kick it off?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. Midway has the Mortal Kombat license up for sale.
Yes! Yes!
Because you want Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter.
The dream is going to come true!
It's your chance. I kicked myself for passing up the Planescape license when I was offered... I had the chance at one point in time to bid on the license for the Planescape franchise, and it was going for $1 at the time.
Wow.
Mike, I have a friend who's a cartoon writer, and he said, look, if you can give me a project today that involves that license, I can get it sold to you for $1 for the rights. I just couldn't come up with anything.
Huh. Wow. Interesting. Well, I wonder what would have happened with that. Did anyone end up buying that license?
I haven't seen any. This was about 5 years ago, and I don't think I've seen any Planescape-related stuff since then. So it is a shame. Yeah. Spelljammer as well. And God damn it, if Spelljammer ever makes a comeback, I'm buying that. Whatever it is.
Mm. Well, anyways, Capcom needs to buy the Mortal Kombat license.
Midway doesn't want to sell it, but if they get desperate, they will.
I can think of a company that has been selling quite a few high-profile games lately, has quite a bit of cash to burn right now. And that is Capcom. Okay, Street Fighter 4 is doing well for them. Resident Evil 4 is going to be fine. Five. Look, they can afford Mortal Kombat. It's going to be great.
I don't know, man. It's Mortal Kombat. Like, they both graduated high school at the same time, but Capcom went out to get a steady job and a nice girlfriend, and Mortal Kombat franchise just kind of ended up pumping gas somewhere. It's not – I don't think they'd really measure up these days.
Even still, you would play that game.
Just
come on,
the whole Ryu versus Scorpion.
I know
concept.
It's not. I know it's like how Mario and Sonic were finally in a game together 10 years too late. But come on, this.
Yeah, I know it's. But it's still one step removed from what I actually want to play, which is every game character in the world fight game.
I thought about that. With,
you know, open source it or something. So Solid Snake is fighting Jigglypuff as you know. Versus Scorpion. That'd be hot.
I always took it a step further and just made like pop culture fighter. So like you also have like Indiana Jones and like a Ghostbuster and just Abraham Lincoln and just everything you could possibly imagine. The roster is just thousands huge.
Yeah. I got very excited when Sean Elliott started teasing people with a fake presidential US president street fighting game. And I'm still kind of bitter that that was – we all laughed at that, but then it never materialized because I would totally play that.
What's up next, Sag Guy?
All right. PlayStation.com has gone through some updates, bringing in some more Xbox.com-esque functionality so you can now like look at your trophies and your friends list and everything. So, you know, that's fun. Now that I'm actually getting trophies, we'll talk about that later. So last week we talked about the Classic Controller Pro coming out for the Wii, but there are currently no plans to bring that to the U.S. Like I said, this is basically the Monster Hunter controller, and since that franchise isn't as big here, probably not as important to get that controller here.
I think we're going to see it eventually.
It looked very much like a GameCube controller when I saw the screenshots of it. It had those weird kind of stick into your palm, not big enough for adult hand thumb like grips on it. So
but
I don't really know.
It has a ZL and a ZR button in addition to L and R.
It reminds me a lot of the PS2 controllers because yeah, it has like L1 and L2 and R2 and R1, but also both analog sticks are on the bottom,
right?
Which was only done otherwise by the current Classic Controller. And
if you really want one, I'm sure you'll be able to import it. No problem.
Oh yeah, I know, but I don't know. Plus, my hands are pretty small anyway, so I'm usually pretty comfortable with the Nintendo controllers.
I think that the sharp point of the NES controller in the middle of your palm is a necessary aspect of playing those classic games.
And yes.
It's cheating if you finish Ninja Gaiden without – and you take your hands away and there isn't that little divot, like that little all divot right in the middle of your sweaty little kid greasy – I think that's – I know that's the kids, they're soft these days.
Yes.
What a bizarre design choice. Sharp edges.
Yeah, you know.
We didn't know. Look how innocent they were.
20 years ago, it seemed like a good idea.
Now it's all retro and cool. Whatever.
So Tetsu Katano, who is the director of Sonic and the Black Knight, basically has said, we haven't seen the last of the Werehog, demonstrating awesome. Sega's ability to not understand what people say on the internet. This is what he had to say. In principle, I think that the users are always right. They're the ones paying the money and playing the games. If they don't enjoy it, they're not going to buy it. I don't think that producing the Werehog was a mistake per se, but there were a lot of things we could have done better if we had more time and resources.
What do I even say? I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's just like what else can we say at this point?
It's baffling.
This is what you can say. Sonic and games sold a shit ton of copies, despite the fact that everybody in our particular cohort grew out of Sonic about 15 years ago. So somehow that cachet is being maintained, and maybe it's just not for us.
I guess, but I want it to be for me.
Used to the Hannah Montana ring grabbing game with Sonic the Hedgehog and the whatever brothers, the Jonas Brothers.
Yes. It's just to me, like,
sell out.
Sonic and Mario are still, in my mind, at least synonymous, well, not synonymous, but, you know, contemporary to each other. And you have, like, Mario Galaxy, which is so good, and I think is accessible and playable and enjoyable to any age group. And Sonic just cannot do that, but I feel like they can if they just listen to us.
Well, they need to go back to Looney Tunes, right? No one, like, Bugs Bunny was at its best when every show was, you know, the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner just doing some stuff. You know, our princess is in another castle. The Looney Tunes never to bring continuity into it. They didn't have love interests. Wile E. Coyote didn't have some weird emo romance with the human girl. But, like, they just got to get back to basics.
Yes.
It's about the rings and running and grabbing them. Okay. I think that's all they need. I don't know. Like, there's got to be a stack of fan letters 20 feet high at Sega's front doorstep from people screaming about that. I don't know.
But then there's also a stack 20 high of people totally talking about why, like, Shadow and Rose should hook up. And
yeah, well, I do not understand the weird sexual subtext of Sonic. It's got to be maintained. Its popularity is strangely high in those circles of the internet.
Well, it almost feels like anymore it's being made for furries. Like, that's the primary audience.
4chan.
Why don't we just stop right there, because I could go on.
Yeah.
I can get mad.
We need to cut ourselves off. An infinite combo has been found in Street Fighter IV. It is executed by Fei Long, and it only works on Seth and Abel. Presumably, this will get patched out with the Championship Edition patch or whatever it is that they're working on. But no word yet.
That's what you get for playing as Seth or Abel.
Or Fei Long.
Yeah. they're lame.
Warner Music is kind of now being disagreeable with MTV Games and Rock Band. We already know that they've kind of had a thing with Activision as well. So they already have some existing license deals worked out, but once those dry up, no more Warner Music in either game, which this sounds to me like another situation where the music industry is once again failing to keep up with the times, and they're just going
to regret it. To be fair, this is probably – Warner's probably just looking at what's going on here. They're seeing – Rock Band make a lot of money. They're probably asking for more.
They are.
And you know, the people at Rock Band and Activision are saying, not Activision, it's EA, are saying no. It's just a money dispute.
It is a money dispute.
And I don't know. It's hard to take sides about.
But it was a money dispute when iTunes came out.
Yeah, I think everybody was surprised at the fact that a track that you release on Guitar Hero has the potential to make more money than the CD that you release in the store. And the music industry just doesn't know how to deal with that
right
now. It's so upsetting to them that their current plan is to just take their ball and go home.
Right. And see, they don't realize the cross-promotion. I mean, how many albums have sold in the last year and a half because people play these games in Rock Band and Guitar Hero and then go and buy the music? I mean, I know our brother is like all over The Killers, Weezer, Bang Camaro, bands he didn't give a shit about until he started playing Rock Band.
Yeah, or the franchise's ability to resurrect forgotten music out of the dead, right? Because, I mean, how many people your brother's age ever bought an Eric Clapton album?
Right.
I don't know. Or, you know, something fairly obscure, right? Whereas they release it on Rock Band, or like Judas Priest, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I knew many people at my age who owned but all that, that's sort of anachronistic these days. So you can almost revive interest in old stuff. It's a long tail. They could be making so much money off of that. But music industry people seem to just be dumb. It goes with the territory, I guess.
I think ultimately there's too much money to be made in this for Warner Music to completely just leave. There will be a compromise at some point. I'll be really surprised if they just drop out.
Yes. Hey, do you have the news, the recent news about the Beatles on your list there anywhere today?
Oh, it comes up, but we can jump to it if you'd like. The Beatles Rock Band game has been confirmed for 9909. Which Chris declared as the greatest 10-year day period in history, alluding to the 9999 launch of the Dreamcast. I said that a 9919 will get holodex.
Well, I was surprised to see that the Wii version is going to be $10 more than every other Wii game.
Yeah, they are
breaking all kinds of rules. That'll be very interesting to see.
Yeah, because it'll be $60 for just the game, the guitars will be $100. The bundle is $250, and presumably it's because these instruments are going to be modeled after the actual instruments of the Beatles, making them kind of like more limited edition or whatever you'd call it these days.
What I'm kind of surprised at is I thought we were told before that this would not really be branded as a Rock Band game, but now the name is the Beatles Rock Band.
Right. I think they realize the value of the branding. I mean, granted, but you people, think the Beatles enough would do it. I think more than anything, they see this not as an opportunity to have Rock Band help sell the Beatles, but to have the Beatles help sell Rock Band.
Okay, but are people going to give EA the same kind of shit that Activision gets for Guitar Hero Aerosmith and Guitar Hero Metallica for not being able to download those songs onto Guitar Hero World Tour? Are they going to give EA this shit now?
My hope, and from all the early talks of this game, it seems to be the case, this isn't going to be like just reskinned Rock Band like the way that Guitar Hero Metallica is reskinned Guitar Hero, that there is substantially more to it and it's a different experience because of the way it handles the Beatles material.
They're shipping a bag of LSD tabs in every package, so
well, there
you're
go.
Supposed to play them around about the 70s era. It's a full body experience, this game.
Oh, we'll see then.
There better be a sitar peripheral as well. All I'm saying.
That's the thing. I feel like a game, I would love like a piano aspect to it or something, you know?
Some horn sections.
Yeah, exactly.
Trumpet Hero.
Yes. The Burnout Toy Car Pack came out yesterday. It is 9 toy cars. You can get them $2 each, all 9 for $12, and they have 2 4 packs of the cars, $6 each, and then the little toy motorcycle is only available by itself for part of the 12 pack, or 9 pack, excuse me. I didn't get this yet. I don't know. I'm not in any rush to get it, because now if I do play Burnout, I'm just like DeLorean.
It's not as exciting as the Legendary Cars pack.
Yeah, it's neat though. I'm sure a lot of people enjoy it.
I approve of their attempts to find a crazy alternate revenue stream for the game that they continue to give away for free, basically.
Yeah.
So
it's now available on Steam, or at least it's coming to Steam very shortly for the PC version. So yeah, that's neat. I think this is phenomenal. So EA has announced that on March 11th, they're going to release a download Xbox 360 exclusive NCAA March Madness game for $15. It'll release on the 11th. It'll have last year's tournament bracket in it. And then on the 15th, when they announce the 2009 bracket, they'll update the game and you just play through the tournament as a team, which for $15, sign me up.
It seems like with this and with Watchmen recently, we're really starting to see downloadable games that really resemble retail products more than something like Braid or Mega Man 9 or just, you know, smaller things like that. Interesting trend.
Now, okay, Beige, I bet you'll be excited about this. Or you probably
okay.
Are. Majesco is announcing a remake of A Boy and His Blob coming to
I saw that. I wanted to high-five the air, I guess. Yeah, I had The Boy and His Blob. Man, there's a franchise that I hadn't thought about in a decade, but as soon as I saw it and I saw the concept art, I was like, yes!
Have you seen the videos?
No, I haven't seen the videos yet.
This game, the art style looks like a cross between, like, Braid and the Curse of Monkey Island.
Well, to me, it looks a lot like that Wario game on the Wii did.
Yeah.
Which people kind of crapped on the gameplay, but it was a pretty good looking game.
A Boy and His Blob was ahead of its time for it. It was sort of a weird proto platformer puzzler thing. And just when I thought about what they could do with a remake, like a revisiting to the franchise, it was, you know, there's a lot of fertile ground in those sort of early or late 80s, early 90s franchises that they could bring back. A Strider game these days, or like they did Bionic Commando, and I'm still very interested to see the next-gen version. But yeah, Boy and His Blob, righteous.
Well, other NES games coming back, Wii Punch-Out will actually contain NES-style controls in addition to the motion controls.
That's cool and all, but it makes me wonder, like, just from what we've seen and stuff, and with that kind of control style, this game could very much play a lot like the original Punch-Out.
It probably will. Oh, I'm telling you right this. Swing the Wiimote, B button. Swing the nunchuck, A button. That's all it's going to be.
I don't like that. I mean, Punch-Out is hard. And Punch-Out is fast. I think you'd get to, you know, Von Kaiser in the real world, and your arms would fall off. Like, you have to... Yeah, I'm not Little Mac. And I'm no slouch, but I couldn't...
Well, none of us are Little Mac.
Yeah.
18 rounds of guys and Mike Tyson at the end.
That's probably
I just want to swing that my star punch. That's really all I want. I think just do an actual uppercut.
Right. I think that's why we're getting these NES-style controls for it, too, now. Because they're probably realizing that people are getting pretty tired playing this game.
I mean, you tried to play Wii Sports Boxing. It's just a flail fest.
Yeah. I hope it's not that.
Precise enough.
Ugh. That was the weakest link of that package.
Oh, totally. GameTap is announced a makeover coming to the service in a couple weeks. The big news out of it really is they're now dropping Mac support entirely, which I'm sure is going to not sit well with a bunch of people.
The squad heaves a sigh of meh.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was really on GameTap.
I was they're for all a while, Macs, then but I just kind of, I don't know. I like good old games better, I think. But some of the changes, I got like the whole list, but like the basics of it is like you could play some stuff right in your browser. Other things get like actual start menu shortcuts. They have Firefox support.
I remember Bowley telling me the story of trying to play Prince of Persia and having on one hand the beautiful Prince of Persia Sands of Time loading screen, and on the left-hand side of the screen, a fucking Burger King ad right in front of him.
Oh, that's good.
So that is why GameTap, that is why I'm not there, because I don't want to walk through Hyrule and see like a Zwinky ad as I'm as I'm going to the Temple of Light. Like, forget that.
So N-Guy Kroll has left Newsweek and gaming journalism in general.
Mysteriously.
Yes. He's kind of vaguely cited some changes in management at Newsweek, saying that he prefers to get into development now. And he wants to be in the, like, a kind of consultant role, which really is kind of unprecedented in our industry as of yet. It kind of makes sense. I mean, like, companies have internal people, like Nick Suttner's new position at Sony, who play games early on to give feedback, but it, like as a freelance consultant, it's a kind of an interesting concept.
All I can hope is that N-Guy will keep writing and speaking,
because I
think that he and did so much to advance the voice of respectable gaming journalism that somebody's got to step up and either do what he does or he's got to keep doing it publicly, because you know he was just a great face for everything that we are about.
He was. It just seems weird to me how game journalism really does seem like a doorway to get into, like,
development.
Yeah. Because, I mean, besides the fact that they both have to deal with games, you think there would be very little similarity between them.
You know what I think it is? It's the media exposure, right? Because the only reason, I'm not going to say the only reason, but one of the main reasons that I think people like Sean Elliott are headhunted is that thousands of people listen to them every week. And all it takes is one company to say, oh yeah, that I like what I hear over there, and bam, they're hired, right?
Yeah, that makes me think of, I'm sure, you know, a large part of Luke Smith going to Bungie was because he was such a popular voice. And they just decided to take care of that and basically kind of make them, you know, the community manager and have them be the voice of the community, and it worked out well. What's next, Edge Guy?
Warhammer Online has launched its Bitter Rivals event we talked about a month ago. So this means the Orc Choppa and the Dwarf Slayer classes are both available to the game, and to celebrate, they now have started offering a 10-day trial to the game for people who have not played it.
It's a fun game. I think people should try it if they haven't.
Yes.
You Minotti brothers play PC games all the time, right?
That is correct.
Because my rig is so out of date. I would probably play that game if I didn't think that it would chug to a screeching halt as soon as I booted it up.
I got to level 20 when I played it. So I played it for a solid month, and 20 is like halfway to the level cap, because the level cap is 40, and I really liked everything I was playing. The fun part about that game is that the classes are all kind of unique and special. And it's not like you can be a warrior elf or a warrior dwarf. If you're a dwarf. Yeah,
every race has its own classes.
Right. And they're all very unique. Like I was a human witch hunter. So like I had like a you know, rapier and a pistol.
Which is cool. Did you guys ever actually play Warhammer? I mean, the stuff it's based off of?
My only exposure to Warhammer has been through video games, that and the Dawn of War series.
Because when I was in university, we had a little crush of people that played all of those games, and I had never touched them before either. And there's so much gold there. Like, I'm not excited about the Warhammer fantasy battles stuff that they're doing, but when they bring out Blood Bowl, if they ever brought out Necromunda as a game, these are sort of B-list 40,000 or Warhammer properties, man, I'd be all over it. And all they're really doing is just taking the mechanics and and digitizing it.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they making Bloodborne 2?
They are, yeah. I'm excited for that.
DS, right?
No, it's next-gen consoles and everything.
Oh, I thought it was portable.
It might be that, too. I don't know. But they just showed some screenshots last week of the cheerleaders in the game.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay, speaking of gold mining from Warhammer, Blizzard, who I'm learning more and more, is just basically completely ripped off Warhammer. But anyway, they are actually preparing a new content patch for Diablo 2.
And they want people's input, right?
They want your input.
Here's my input. Stop working on freaking Diablo 2 and get those people on Diablo 3.
You should go to the forum and say that.
That's what I want right now.
The only thing I would want out of Diablo 2 is just some kind of support for higher resolution and widescreen resolution so I can still play it a bit while I wait for 3.
You know what a higher resolution Diablo 2 would be?
Diablo 3?
Yes. I see plenty of fixes here.
Well, when you're right, you're right. Let's move on. On Steam this weekend, so right now, you can go and play Unreal Tournament 3 for free. They just released the Titan Pack, which is like, you know, they do like these big community packs with new game modes and maps and things. If you decide you like it after your free time with it, it is on sale for the low, low price of $12 until March 15th.
It's pretty nifty.
I'm considering investing more so, not because I'm really interested in Unreal 3, but as the Make Something Unreal contest starts wrapping up for this year, I'm sure there's going to be some really good mods for UT3 that I want to play. So $12 might be worth it right now.
You know what I liked? I liked Unreal Tournament 2004. That's the only one I played much of, and it was fun.
Yep, that was in ascendancy for a while in my group as well. It's the last real big Unreal that I played, actually. So
see, the problem was I didn't have a group then, so I couldn't play it with anyone.
Right, we just played it.
Yeah. None of my friends
played
PC games. Yeah,
it's still fun.
You know what else is still fun? Quake Live / Quake 3.
Is it still fun?
Yeah, actually.
It's so fun you can't get into it.
No, actually you can now.
Can you?
Yeah, they've dropped the queues and it all should be hunky-dory, so hooray.
Yeah, maybe. But see, I mean, if you don't have something working when it launches, a lot of people aren't going to go back to
it. Yeah, I really, really, it seems like, you know, Quake Live had a rocky launch, SOCOM had a crappy launch. Like, all these games have these piss-poor online launches, and they have the audacity anymore to act surprised. Like, we didn't think this many people would play. We weren't ready for it. It's like, you know what? Rent some servers for the first week and a half so that, like, you know, everything launches smooth. Then you can get rid of those, and, like, we'll be good to go.
Gmail, do the Web 2.0 thing. Just roll it out very slowly, incrementally at a time, you know?
Yeah, like, I feel like they felt like they didn't do that Quake Live. Like, they were starting to do that, then, like, one day they just opened the floodgates.
You blow the doors off like that, expect 100,000 high school students to come and trash your house.
Exactly. So I haven't done this yet, but Fallout 3 got patched on the 360. It's most of the patch was for some preparatory code for the Pit DLC coming this month, March 24th, by the way. But they did also update the specular lighting engine in the 360 version to match the PC version and the PS3 version. So, yeah,
I hope
exciting.
They patched the part where the robots in the town that I needed to complete a quest were all gone. And
oh,
I
my
had
God.
To,
the same thing happened to me.
I know. That quest is frustrating. I had to reload a game from like 2 hours before.
I had to reload a game. I'm like, okay, fine. I won't do the fucking quest. Like, have they not fixed that yet? Because that happens to, like, everyone.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There's the one quest where Beige, what's the town called?
It's the big town, I believe.
Right, and you have to go there, and like people are going to invade them. And you have to help them out, so they're like, we have old robots, can you fix them? Like, yeah, sure, I'll fix them. And then you go, and everyone's kind of standing around waiting for you to fix the robots, and the robots just aren't there.
Huh.
Yeah, and the worst part is they programmed in all this dialogue for people who are unimpressed, so you spend half an hour, and people are like, come on, genius, I'm waiting for you to show me something.
I know.
And people are like, oh, this guy doesn't know anything. And I'm like, the robots! They promised me robots! They're gone! So eventually I just had to teach them to shoot with a pistol, which was fine.
I've only been to Big Town with my evil character, and as soon as I got there, I just killed everybody and looted it. So.
But see, I hate, though, because when you come across a bug as big as that, then you start to not trust the game. So then there'll be times where something's not working, and it's probably, you know, the player error, but it's in the back of your mind. Well, maybe this is just a bug.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know? That's actually crazy.
I think just the huge scope of Fallout, you know, they can't patch everything because it's vast.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I was playing, I had this, do you guys know what the Fire Lance is? It's the it's the alien blaster.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
the only way that you can get it, not the alien blaster itself, but every now and then you'll hear like a boom, and if you look up, there'll be like a puff of smoke, like something exploded in the sky, and this unique gun will fall from the sky and land at your feet. And this happened to me in the middle of like the craggiest ass mountain range you could possibly imagine, where everything is brown, and this unique gun fell, and I knew it was within 300 feet of me on either side, but I walked around for half an hour knowing it was there, couldn't find it, and I was just clawing at the engine and being like, why would you do this to me? So then I got dog meat and he went and found it.
The story has
a happy ending, but it just illustrated to me like the scope of that game is so big that they can't, it's all variable, you know, like right. You try and proof a world the size of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
You know, my dog meat never came back.
It's robots every now and then.
You lost your dog meat?
Yeah, remember I told you, like, I fast-traveled and realized he wasn't there, and I just lost him.
That's kind of sad. You're a pretty bad dog owner.
I guess.
Oh, well.
Yep. Okay. The new Xbox experience, which isn't quite so new anymore, but for the people without internets, or people who just for whatever reason don't want it, tough. They're going to start putting it on game disc themselves, starting with Tom Clancy's Hawks and MLB 2K9, so that you put the game in and it'll be like, we're giving you the NXE now. Suck it up.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you know.
I don't mind it. I just find it kind of pointless.
I like it. I'm a fan.
I like my avatar. He looks like me.
He does look like you. I think all three of our avatars look a lot like us.
Yeah, everybody is OCD in the squad, so they all build.
I'm kind of upset that Rock changed his all gamer tag to a family account now. Like, because I always thought his avatar also looked really good, but now it doesn't. It's like, maybe it's his wife or something. I don't know who it is.
You shouldn't say it doesn't look good, AJ.
It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like, you know what I mean. I love you, man. Okay.
Man.
Days of Arcade promotion is starting March 18th. Very similar to the Summer of Arcade promotion, and that went well, so hopefully this does too. It'll kick off with Hasbro Family Games, which is like a bunch of like Hasbro board games digitized. Battleship and Kinect 4.
Oh, boy.
Are people still playing that? I mean, I kind of figured that real games came and beat up those games at one point in time and took their lunch money. Like, can you imagine playing Battleship right now? Just, you know.
Could be fun for a few minutes.
Well, what about spending an evening doing that?
Well, what about like Catan or Ticket to Ride or something like that?
That's not Mattel style. I'm talking you roll the dice, you play, you say sorry, and then you move your piece to the other side of the game.
Oh, wait, that'd be great if there's actual voice commands and you had to say. Yeah. Wait, Beige, you're onto something.
It's like pushing the Y button.
Yahtzee. I want to see Yahtzee live.
Oh, that's amazing.
All Yahtzee all the time.
Well, the other games announced for the 6-week-long promotion are The Dishwasher, Dead Samurai, Flock, Outrun Online Arcade, Puzzle Quest Galactics, Uno Rush, and Load Runner. If you're counting, that is 7 games in 6 weeks, so one of the weeks we'll get 2 games.
Okay.
Cool. Last summer was good.
Yeah. I'm excited for Load Runner and Outrun, personally. And The Dishwasher.
This isn't as exciting as the last one, though.
No,
where it was
like Braid and Bionic Commando Galaga? Was it Galaga?
There's Yamcha Wars 2 also.
Yeah.
I mean, those are ridiculous.
It was good times. So Gamefly has launched their first kiosk called a G-Box at Texas Tech University. It's basically like, you know those outside the grocery stores now, the DVD rental boxes? It's that for games.
Oh, cool.
$2.50 a day to rent a game. So, you know, that's pretty spiffy.
Yeah, $2.50 is kind of a bit. I mean, I guess relatively I understand.
Yeah. And the last thing. So Amazon has begun accepting trade-ins of used games.
Oh, God.
The way it basically works, you print out a label, you mail your game in a box, Amazon checks it to make sure it works. If it does, you get the credit. If it doesn't, if for whatever reason something's wrong, they just mail it back to you free of charge. So, of course, Don Matteo, the CEO of GameStop, came right out and just said, quote, "I give the probability of this working at 0, end quote. Why did he say that? Well, maybe it's because GameStop stock dropped 13% after Amazon made this announcement. So, you know, obviously he's not going to come out and be like, I applaud them and welcome them to our market. No.
My insight on this move comes from my wife, who worked at Half Price Books in Texas for many years. And she liked to tell me stories of how people would go into Barnes & Noble across the street, steal a huge armload of books from there, shoplift them, walk out the door, and bring them over to Half Price Books in the shrink wrap, and dump them on the desk and say, how much would you give me for this?
That's delightful.
So, I'm just saying, Amazon's on, you send them games in a box and they give you money. I don't see any way how that could go wrong anonymously.
Well, it's not anonymous because it has to be tied to your account because that's how they credit you. Now, obviously, like, I mean, the big pro to this is you can use this credit for anything on Amazon, not just games. And then, over on whattheyplay.com, Patrick Klepek, did a comparison because Amazon will let you actually look up to see how much all your games are worth, where GameStop will not do that. They're not even allowed technically to tell you over the phone. Like, you can't call and say, like, I have this used copy of Gears of War 1. How much is it worth? They will not tell you unless you go to the store. But he did take some games to the store to get their prices, compared it to their prices on Amazon, and consistently across the board, every game is worth $2 or $3 more on Amazon.
Nice. Well, I'm not going to stop going to my local hole-in-the-wall game store because they make crazy Fallout deals on everything. I bring in a couple of broken games, a DVD case, and some bottle caps, and they'll trade me a strategy guide and
that literally sounds
this
like
in a sandwich.
It sounds like you're trading in Fallout.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what it's like. Gamerama, folks. It's the place to shop for games in Toronto. I love it. It smells like a sandwich, and everybody's surly. It's a high fidelity record store. Video games,
nice. Delightful. All right, that's the news I got.
All right, well, let's get over to the game of the years past. 1989.
1989. What were you two doing in 1989?
Well, I was being five.
I started high school in 1989.
I started preschool.
All right.
Oh, man.
Did we even have
good times? Good times.
I don't even know exactly what year we got our NES. I want to say it was not until the 90s, at least.
I will say that at this point, I was playing the NES, at least.
Were you?
Yeah.
When did we get it?
I thought it was way from when I got home, honestly.
Well, I'm saying, I think we didn't get it to like 1990, 91 or something.
No, that's not true.
Really? Okay.
I cannot remember not having an NES, and I can remember being three.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh. This year has good associations for me because every game that I played, I can also associate with that. Like, wow, I'm in high school for the first time and everybody's talking about it. So I've got, I knew exactly what the games were before I even looked them up.
I kind of have right. that. I have that same feeling with, the PS2 and GameCube, Xbox generation, really.
Yep.
All right.
We'll get to this.
Anyways, yeah. This is a good year.
The list, sir.
I was kind of disappointed by 1988, but this is a much better year, I think. First off, we got Bad News Baseball.
Oh, hell yes.
I had to bring up everyone's like, I love Bases Loaded, or they'll be like, I like our RBI or whatever. No, Bad News Baseball.
If the umpires aren't bunny rabbits, it don't count.
That's right. then we got a Boy and His Blob.
Yep.
How's that for a
Well, that's why they're doing it's the 20th anniversary.
Oh, right? Well, there you go. There's the synergy.
Yes. 20th anniversary. Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Sorry.
Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. My favorite.
So awesome. Yeah, yes, my favorite as well. And not just because they had to put a separate chip on the NES cart to play the music. It was I just played it through recently, as a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Still hard as hell, still great.
Yeah, I know. I love the whole character switching thing. And like the characters are interesting. I don't know. It's great. It's good stuff. DuckTales.
Where did that game even come from? Like, it doesn't have any right being good. Especially the way we look at licensed games today. Like, it's just
Capcom
amazing.
Was on this weird kick where they were doing Disney. Like, they did a Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers game. That so good. It had two-player co-op in it, and that was really rare for NES stuff. So
they made a bunch of even on the
Aladdin
Genesis
and Lion King
Nintendo.
And that era of games had really unusually good music as well. I saw the 1-Ups at PAX cover the DuckTales NES music in sort of a jazz combo way, and I was like, this was as far as 8-bit goes, this was pretty rocking.
I think the most popular song from that was the Moon theme. Good stuff. Yep. But, the thing I love about all of those Capcom platform games, and, it's true with DuckTales, is that they weren't just like, let's just take a game like Mario and put in Disney characters. They were all really interesting things.
Except Darkwing Duck kind of did that.
Well, Darkwing Duck was just kind of like Mega Man, right?
Yes, but it's still good.
But DuckTales is just, it had this very interesting like hopping mechanic, and that was like your attack, Chip and Dale was kind of pick things up. If anything, Chip and Dale was kind of like Mario 2 almost?
Yeah, I always feel sorry for the guys who have to shoehorn a gameplay onto a kid's concept like that, because really, like, how often does Scrooge McDuck fall into a pit full of spikes? Like, for real.
You'd be surprised. I have my collection of DuckTales cartoons.
It's with Scrooge, you can almost believe it, but I do remember when they released the Barbie game, and I think you threw tapes or collected tapes, and it was a platform. Very weird.
That was a bit
not much. That I've played it, but I do remember. I was going
to say, what are you two talking about? Why do you both know this?
There was a Barbie platformer.
Well, I believe it.
Before they realized that, like, Habbo Hotel was the way to go.
Right. I played the Barbie platformer.
Oh, God.
My cousins had it. It was a very good, surprisingly.
Okay.
Speaking of not particularly good, we have Golden Axe.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Three people in the arcades beating up those little thieves with little imps, gnomes with hats on.
Well, they were
smacking the shit out of the stuff and pushing, getting your Valkyrie up to 7 points of fire. That's what it was all about.
I think Golden Axe was good until Streets of Rage came out.
You had to be a teenager who hung out in a no good pizza parlor.
I guess
with the big kids who smoked cigarettes.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the adventure game. Came out this year.
I never played
underappreciated.
That one.
Yep. Wow. One day we'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should get to that one day. One day I feel like we should do maybe like the the early Scum trilogy where we can do.
Fiend told me today that Gabriel Knight works on his latest emulator for Mac.
Ooh.
And that is the adventure game that we need to play as a squad.
Yeah, because you've been talking that game up a lot.
I'm really a huge evangelist of that game.
I got to try that
Quest
one.
For Glory as well.
Mech Warrior came out, much to my surprise.
CPC. Pew pew. It was great.
Yes.
I stayed up all night in 1989 with my buddy playing Lemmings and Mech Warrior and, working my mercenary company. It was, strangely, like most PC games these days, it was very, like, it had a certain PC feel to it that was just very, I don't know. I can't explain it.
I know what you mean.
It was a good era. It was a good era.
Mother.
It was like playing a flight simulator where you had to actually spend the like 4 hours it took to fly over to Baghdad, drop a bomb, and then fly back. I played those flight simulators.
I do remember when I did play Mech Warrior, I'm like, man, I'm sure I'm walking around a lot.
Yeah, but that's how it actually
that's
works.
That's how it works.
That's how actual mechs work, okay? Yeah.
Mother came out. The first Mother.
Eh.
Well, I mean, never. I never played Mother 1.
Yeah.
Is anyone here?
Oh, it's on. All of the Mothers are on my pile of shame. If they ever bring them to North America, I'll be all over it.
I've tried so hard to get to Earthbound the Past, and I just never could.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
But
Pishu's playing Mother 3. She's got a translated version somewhere. He says it's good.
It does look like the most interesting one. We got Phantasy Star 2 came out.
It never played.
Yeah,
wasn't a Genesis. I wasn't a Genesis
was
man.
Genesis.
Oh, this
we
one
we
was
fought
Genesis.
Those people. I had knives. You cut. If somebody said Genesis, you cut them.
That's
NES for life.
We were Genesis.
We were Genesis. Well, we had the Super Nintendo too, but we were still like you.
I like Sonic better.
You had to pick a side back then.
Yes,
it didn't matter.
You did. And the smugness that Sonic brought to the discussion, I couldn't take it.
It's funny.
It was like, well, he's got attitude now, so fuck
he's
you.
Fast.
It's funny,
let's rumble.
Retroactively, I'm like, man, the Super Nintendo was a much better system than Genesis. Prince of Persia, the first one, came out.
Awesome. Autoscoping for the win.
Yep, it was great. It took me about 4 months to beat it because I would get all the way up to the shadow level and then couldn't figure out how to beat the Dark Prince or whatever it was. So that was a punishing game.
Yes.
Oh, my God. But the Xbox remake's good. The live one?
Mm-hmm. That came out not too long ago.
Yep.
Quest for Glory came out.
Oh, so good. So good. There's another mission we need to do as the squad.
Number
five never existed.
I tried it a bit the one time you told me to, give it a shot. And I was enjoying it. Still, it's hard for me because I've never played any of those, kind of like text adventure games.
Right. But the thing about Quest for Glory is that they remade the original and now there's a fan remake of 2 as well. So that the entire series has been brought up to speed with modern graphics. The point and click scum like interface so that you don't have to use the text parser you don't want. And I played the redone Quest for Glory not too long ago, and there's all sorts of like interesting stuff that they put in there. There's a whole bunch of enthusiasts who do this. They also did it with King's Quest.
Yeah.
They take old game and they redo it with new art and music and stuff. They're really well done.
I gotta look into that because it really wasn't. I mean, I don't know if you know much about it, but it's basically a combination of a game like King's Quest and an RPG.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Yeah, it was.
It's King's Quest, but you fight stuff, get XP, and level up. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, one of the really cool things about it is that your same character continues over from game to game. So you create him as a blank slate in game one, but everything you do, the items that you get in like game two, can come back to solve puzzles in game four. They retroactively.
Wow, that's pretty forward thinking for Batman.
There's a character class called the Paladin that you can only become a Paladin late in game two or in the middle of game three, and there's no other way to do that. But there's entire like story arcs in number four that are Paladin specific, and the only way to get to them is to have like been promoted to it by doing something really noble in Quest for Glory 2.
It's cool stuff.
I'm now intrigued.
Yeah, it's good.
River City Ransom.
Barf.
Another beat.
Love
up.
It. Yep. It was proto God Hand, basically.
Ah, there you go.
Yep.
That might be a squad worthy game, God Hand.
I put it on the pile a couple times.
Yeah, I know it's come up a few times.
It's worth it.
SimCity.
River City
is next. Yep. That's like SimCity is one of those games I always feel like I want to like it, and I start playing it. And then, like, I just kind of get, I don't know, like...
It has the Will Wright's pee problem, right? Where at the end of the day, there's not... So you can build a really awesome city, but it doesn't go into space. You don't get objectives. It's just kind of like, it's there.
Right.
So it's like playing Nobi Nobi Boy. After a while, you kind of wonder what the hell's going on.
You have a hard time knowing when I need to stop playing.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And it's not so much because you're just having so much fun you can't stop. You just don't know.
You know what they should do with SimCity is nowadays they should make a great and be huge networked SimCity where there's actually just a world and everybody who builds a city is actually building it in a country where everyone else's city impacts them.
So Sim I World think, we want now.
I like Sim Continent. Cool. You know, like you could have a city right in between Philly and you know, Pittsburgh or somewhere.
I'm surprised that has not happened, honestly.
It will now.
Remember when they did
you can mail your checks to us.
Remember when they did The Sims Online? It was like that really disappointing chat interface thing, basically.
Yeah. It was home, actually.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Strider came out.
Yes, I watched a whole bunch of NES videos of Strider today, just for huge retro nostalgia. That game was righteous.
This is good stuff. I liked him in Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yep. Go. Now, is that the arcade version or the NES version? Because I believe I played the NES version in about that time. They were nothing alike. They had nothing to do with
it. Yeah,
one
I know
another.
They're very different. This one might be, I don't know, whatever one came first. If you give me a second, I'll figure this
probably,
out.
Probably both. They were just Kiryu, The Adventures of, and it had really wicked 8-bit music for its time, which I could still hum. I knew it even when I booted up the YouTube clip. I'm like, man. Going to be 80, and I'm going to remember the Strider theme.
Yeah, we're talking actually, the arcade game.
No, they both came out in 89.
They both came out in 89? Yeah, well, all right, take your pick, man. They're both out. So, that's good.
Oops. And then after that, where'd you go?
Will you take your hand off the mouse? There you go.
Okay.
You're ruining everything. Okay, this is a good one. TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game.
Yoo-hoo!
Later ported to the NES as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
And then to XBLA as TMNT 89.
Yeah, there you go.
I love that game.
It's definitely a classic beat 'em up.
So much time wasted in Chuck E. Cheese playing that
game. So many quarters wasted, yeah.
Gone.
It went for a good cause.
Yes.
Yep.
Tetris came out, so.
Well, you know, that's
important. Well, 89 was the year of the Game Boy, right?
That's true, yeah.
That is the year that Super Mario World? What the hell was the Game Boy?
It's just Mario Land. I only think it was Super.
No, it so there was that. There was Tetris. There was the Castlevania DS game. That might not have been. Yeah, those were all pretty close to launch. And the Final Fantasy game, which was
Final Fantasy Legends, Worlds,
which is actually a Sega game, right?
Whatever. Yeah, something like that. Then I threw this in here for fun. Zero Wing did come
for great
out.
Justice.
Take off every zig.
Yeah. You know, I don't care if people say that, you know, that one's gone old. I will never stop laughing.
I know, right?
So, now we're going to get to
some Twitter suggestions.
Some Twitter suggestions from our friends. Fiend wanted me to mention Baseball Stars, which I will immediately put down for not being Bad News Baseball.
Correct.
Okay, you guys, someone's got to help me with this. Herzog Zwei?
Zwei, yeah.
Herzog, yeah. Never played.
Me neither.
Heard good things.
All I know is that Zwei is German for two.
That's correct.
Yep.
Populous.
Yep.
I never played that either, but people speak fondly of it.
Homie, what is it?
It's what's his name? It's Peter Molyneux.
Peter Molyneux. Yeah, it was Bullfrog's first, it was the first god game.
Yeah.
It was the first game in which you played a god, and that was the whole hook, and you could cause catastrophes to your people. You could raise volcanoes and floods, and every level ended when you caused Ragnarok, and both your group of guys and the other heathens fought and killed each other.
Hmm.
And it was great. And incidentally, my password for all of grade 9 computers was Populous.
Now we know.
Fiend also, yeah. Fiend also brought up SimCity and Tetris.
Yep.
A good friend, Zach, wanted to also mention Golden Axe, Mother, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Pete, Angry Jedi, want to bring up Test Drive 2.
Is that the one with the Lotus Super Turbo Esprit, whatever?
You're talking the wrong guys.
Yeah.
It was on the Amiga, I think.
Yeah. Well, all of these games you talk about are Atari ST. So he also wanted to bring up Klax, Interface, and Indian Last Crusade. Then Simmies also wanted to bring up Populous. Then some games I don't recognize North and South.
You don't remember North and South? It was the Simulate the Civil War on the NES game where you played it was cool. It actually had it was like a hybrid of a bunch of different games. So there was like a Storming the Town game that was kind of an RTS, and then there was a platformer where you were fighting guys on trains, and there was kind of resource management stuff. It was really unusual.
So it was like Spore before Spore.
Yeah, and I can remember always feeling creeped out where when you played the South and you won, they didn't really say anything bad. They were just like, yay, Dixie. And I'm like, yay, everyone's enslaved.
Yay, our independence. We have Xenon 2, was the sequel to Xenon.
Stunt Car Race.
And Stunt Car Race. So that was Simmies. Sword Guy, you also wanted to bring up Strider, Fantasy Star 2, and TMNT. And then also Shadow Dancer, the Batman NES game, Clash at Demon Head, and Manhunter 2 San Francisco.
Was Batman NES the 89? That definitely needs to be on the list.
I wonder if I missed it or something.
It was the Blaster Master guys. I want to say Sunsoft.
Mm-hmm.
They were known for amazing music and really cool games.
Right. Joker's
hard as hell, too.
And then, Beige, I think you posted this, some list
you
of games.
You have it written down. Of course you did.
Well, okay, I think. Well, you just go with it. You got Shadowgate. Why don't you talk about that?
Oh, Shadowgate. It was originally released on a bunch of platforms like Mac and stuff, but I played it on the NES, and it was the kind of a proto-Myst. You walked around in they had a number of they were doing the Myst thing where they had a screen of an environment, and you could kind of move your cursor around and interact with objects and stuff there. And you were entering you're trying to get to the bottom of this castle. And I played it on an NES emulator. It holds up pretty well. It's an adventure puzzler. That's the way I can describe it. And you'd sort of like click around on the interface, and you could like, oh, there's a skull here. I wonder if I click it and use the open command. Oh, okay, the mouth opened up and there's a key inside, and maybe I can use this key back a couple of rooms. And eventually you fought your way to a wizard and had a big duel with him. It was great.
We also got music. You got Shadow of the Beast, you mentioned.
Yep, that was an Amiga thing. Shadow of the Beast. I want to get the squad to play that sometime. It's hard to describe. It was an action puzzler, a platformer. So it was a 2D platforming game, but the emphasis was not on fighting enemies. It was like solving Myst kind of puzzles in two dimensions with like Mario physics. Yeah, very unique. They haven't done, but it has a very strong fan following if you look it up on the Wiki.
You also brought up Strider, DuckTales, and Populous. and Prince of Persia SimCity, which we talked about. Dragon Warrior, which is...
I cannot believe that that was not on your list.
Well, because I did Dragon Quest already.
Okay, so it's the same game.
Yeah.
It just hit North America under that. There was this urban legend in my part of the world, because in the original Dragon Warrior, you got this suit of like Erdrick's. Erdrick was the big hero that you were... You'd get, like, Erdrick's armor was the best armor in the game, and Erdrick's sword was the best sword in the game. And there was no Erdrick's shield anywhere in the game, but everybody in my hometown said that they had found it in some... And there was all these urban legends about, well, you have to go to every mountain in this particular mountain range and use the search command, and then it came up. So I burned, like, 2 afternoons easily following up urban legends to try and get... Erdrick Shield, and of course it doesn't exist at all.
The best game.
And if Game Facts had been around, it would have been about a 6-second endeavor.
But the best game urban legend I ever heard was my one friend had a like his older brother's friend told him that when you beat Super Mario Brothers 3, a C button appears on the NES controller.
he believed it too.
Okay. So why don't we pick a game of the year?
That's hard call.
I mean,
there's a lot of good stuff in here, but if we're gonna say something that was ultimately important, I'm gonna have to go with Tetris. Actually, think how many people still like they are charging $5 for Tetris on the iPhone.
It is kind of the 900-pound gorilla. I mean, it buoyed the DS or the Game Boy. Yeah, right. That's why it succeeded.
I think it's also important to mention we had a lot of people bring up DuckTales. And TMNT, so those are
that would be my choices. Second choice, maybe, because that kind of popularized, I think, the arcade multiplayer brawler.
And I'm still kind of tempted.
Oh, you only say that because you weren't around when Double Dragon was hot.
Yeah, true.
That thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but like
four players
like,
though.
I played Double Dragon, and just that has a different feel to me than like TMNT, and then eventually like the X-Men and Simpsons arcade games like did eventually have.
I'm so like tempted to say. Different about them. I'm tempted to say Castlevania 3, really too.
It's the heartstring tugger. I probably may have to go with SimCity, since it spawned so much in the way of SimX, and it started an entire like genre of PC gaming that probably ended in Civilization and a bunch of other stuff.
I might have to agree with them with SimCity. That seems like the most important game here.
I'm going
to
go with
this. If you consider that The Sims is now significant to gaming,
right,
as the largest franchise in the world.
You're not allowed to say Tetris. We have to agree.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. That's the whole point. We have to come to a consensus.
I love SimCity. Boy, howdy.
No, you have to say that we agree that in 1989, the game of the year was SimCity.
Okay, I agree.
Fine. I'll take that. Okay, because, 86, we had Legend of Zelda. 87, we had Metal Gear. And then 88 was Mega Man 2. Now 89, we have SimCity.
All right.
See, the list is coming pretty good. All right, let's move on to the Great American Asgard Gaming Quiz.
Oh, boy.
So we got 5 questions here and a bonus question, all inspired by that.
I just read the first question, you bastard.
What?
I just actually read the first question, you bastard.
What, you don't think you can get that one?
No.
So 5 questions, bonus question. Beige, you're allowed to help him.
I will help if asked.
I'm going to need it a lot, so here it comes. Get ready for it.
Can't promise anything.
Let's do it. Question right, it's a gold star.
Okay.
Number one, name the fictional land in which Golden Axe takes place.
You got anything?
Shit. Death equals adder. I don't know.
We'll go with Golden Axia.
It's Uria.
Oh.
The correct answer was Uria. Yeah.
Okay, spell it.
Y-U-R-I-A.
All right, because that's not how it's medically spelled.
Yes.
Next.
In what level in DuckTales is the final boss fought in?
Again, I have no idea. Do you know?
Well, let me think. There was the mines, there was Africa, there was the moon.
It has to be the moon.
It was like, Flintheart Glomgold was the guy, and you were racing him up something. So it must have been back in, like, DuckTales Mansion, something like that.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Or Magicka Dispel's place. Shit, I don't know.
The correct answer is Transylvania.
Transylvania, yes, shit, Magicka
now
Dispel.
Now I remember that.
Number 3, what was the original name for Quest for Glory?
Jeez, oh man. Beige.
Hero Quest. But no, it was, yeah, Heroes Quest. And they changed it because there was also a Hero Quest, like, board game. Mm-hmm. Or, like, some sort of peripheral, right?
Yep, yep, you are correct.
Yeah, I got half a point, you got a gold star.
There we go. Number four, what is the name of the villain from Zero Wing?
Oh, I know this, it's Praetor Katz.
Okay, I just wrote down Katz, but, and if you know that much, you can
he's
have it.
He's a Praetor?
I think, really? That might have been something I made up for my Zero Wing movie, but it's definitely Katz. Oh yes, I storyboarded one, say, Zero Wing trailer. I was very proud of it. I'll share that someday. Maybe I have the WMV in it still.
Didn't you try to like justify the bad language? To,
oh yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Transmission.
Yeah,
problems?
like when the guy said somebody set up us the bomb, it was like, you know, he's saying other stuff, but because of the static, all you heard was somebody set up us the bomb.
The bomb.
Yeah. Oh God. Question number five. In the logo for Mother, the O in Mother is represented with what?
Do you know for sure?
Not for sure.
It's probably
because
like,
it was earthbound over
yeah.
here.
Is it like just the earth?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it was the moon.
Damn it. Wrong celestial body.
You had the right idea. Bonus question. We all remember that Alucard made his first appearance at Castlevania 3.
That's right.
What was the name of the pirate who was able to climb on walls and was also a playable character in the game?
Beige, you know that one?
Grant Dynasty and Sifa Belnadis.
Grant's
along
his,
with,
I was looking for yes. Grant, but I'll take his impressive answer.
Grant Dynasty, which is a bastardization of an actual. So there is some historical name that Capcom or Konami bastardized to make that. I used to haunt the Castlevania dungeon.
All right.
Well, AJ, I think Beige got more. More.
He got two gold stars, and I got 3 points. All right.
You did not get 3 points.
Uh-huh, because you said I get half
you
a point.
You get half a point when he does.
Oh, sorry, that's two. I
you
added
got two
wrong.
Points.
Okay, 2 points.
Okay, let's move on to our week in gaming.
Okay.
So
I wrote down all my games because I didn't want to forget them.
So you won't forget them. Why don't we let Beige go first?
Okay.
Okay. Let me think. What have I been playing? I've been playing Nobi Nobi Boy. Have we talked about that?
No. No one's talked about that show.
Explain to me why I should give a damn about this game because it looks so unappealing to me.
Do you understand squadronofshame.com/happyfish?
No.
Because if you don't,
what's that?
Then you well go and find out.
Okay.
if you don't get it, then you won't get Nobi Nobi Boy. But you play boy who is a little kind of worm thing. He looks like a pool noodle, and your left stick front half and your right stick controls his ass. And you drive him around and you stretch him as far as you can and you eat things to grow large until you become this enormous skipping rope that drapes over the entire level and you're tying yourself in knots and crawling around in the superstructure. And when enough people play this game, all of your progress is communal across all of the players of the game. So let's say you grow to be a kilometer long. You upload that to Girl, who floats in the sky. And then if a million other people do that and your combined length around the world is 100 or a million kilometers, then she may stretch to the moon or to Mars and you get a new world to go play in. It doesn't make any fucking sense when I explain it, but
no, it does.
It's very zen. There's no point except play. So it's a toy.
Yeah. Is it fun?
It's basically, yeah.
Like, is this worth my $10?
Pretty compelling. I've bought more expensive dish detergents than $10 probably in my life. So I definitely, as Tycho said, I consider it to be sort of like R&D. Think of it like gaming R&D. It's money well spent into creating weird ass experiences. And if you like the flavor of Katamari, it's that on speed. Like it's just amped up to a huge degree. But yeah, it's ridiculous. The music is kind of oddly understated. It's just somebody strumming on a guitar. And, it's worth investigating. It's no flower,
right.
You know, but it's cool. Yeah. I think it's a diversion. That's basically as much as I can say about it, but I like that. So I've been playing that. Been playing a lot of Street Fighter 4,
yes.
Which I love.
What are you going to challenge me, Beige? Huh? When are you going to throw down? Okay.
So story time, everybody.
What's this?
So, but Mike's been playing a lot of ranked Street Fighter 4 as Cammy. And, you know, he got his battle score or whatever up to like 1,000. He thinks he's hot shit.
I am hot shit.
So then I sit down. I've been playing it too. Not nearly to the obsessive level he has. He's like, oh, let's go, Ash guy. Let's go. I'm like, okay. So, you know, I pick my Ryu. He's got his Cammy.
Ryu, that's a pretty fucking original choice, by the way.
10 matches later, I've won every single one. he literally tried to bend a 360 controller in half. I've never seen you get that mad.
It's weird because I'm not that guy usually. I am not that person who gets that mad about these things, but just something about Street Fighter, I just get furious.
You were punching the couch and you had this, I could see your muscles tensing. You were trying to like twist this thing.
I really was trying. I am so sad to say this, but I literally tried to break the Xbox 360 controller. And not by throwing it, but by literally trying to snap it in half.
Just crushing it within your grip. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Were you successful?
No, I stopped him because I didn't want to have to spend $40 to replace it.
Have you been playing – you've been playing ranked matches then online? Mm-hmm. Have you had any problems connecting up?
No. Because
I've been having a hell of a time trying to find – Yeah,
I'll tell you what you got to do. First of all, you have to be persistent. Maybe. You can't do that quick play shit because that'll never work.
Yeah, quick play is pointless.
You can't do that. You have to do the whatever it is, whatever they call the other thing, like specific
player
games.
Match or
not player match.
The other one.
You know, it was weird. Hosting a match worked for me well for a while. UFA is really the best way to do it is to turn on that option so that when you play arcade mode, people can just join like you and play games that way.
Yeah, it's as if
I was doing that, but I would go 10 seconds into a fight and then somebody in the outside world. And I'd be like, no, I want to beat this with.
Yeah,
to me, it was just as long as waiting otherwise, except instead of staring at a searching screen or something, I could just be playing the game in the meantime.
And I find that I was going to say, like, for me, fighters are like, they're this once every 4 years kind of thing. Where I won't be interested in them, and then suddenly you get the itch, and you just have to play. You have to fight and beat people, and that's what Street Fighter 4 is doing for me right now. I haven't like Guilty Gear would have been the last one. Guilty Gear 2, XX.
Didn't they just announce that new game by the Guilty Gear people?
No, you mean King of Fighters 12?
No,
oh.
Guilty Gear people, something blue.
Oh, BlazBlue.
BlazBlue.
Yeah,
that's coming to systems.
Yeah,
that looks cool.
That's cool. I don't know. It ties back into what I wanted to mention. Like, I've also been playing, are we still talking about Street Fighter 4?
Yeah, go for it.
Or is that to jump topics?
Do whatever you want to do.
I've been playing, Fire Emblem, Shadow Dragon.
How is that?
Okay. Let me preface this by saying that those of you who know me realize that I consider games and women to be analogous in that if they don't play hard to get, they're not worth your time. So I play Fire Emblem because it's hard. And I'm also a big chess player when I'm not playing video games. So I really, really relish the sensation of sitting down across from a good opponent of my own skill and beating them. That's or not, but trying really hard. And that's for me, that's the appeal of Fire Emblem. Locking horns with like a good tactician and having to use all of your units very precisely to achieve victory. And, you know, I've played every Fire Emblem since English, and I want to like Shadow Dragon a lot because the DS is perfect for Fire Emblem, and I'm such a fan of the flavor of the series and all of that stuff. But they just – here's where they lost me right up front. When I went to choose the game and the difficulty level was choose wimpy, easy beginner difficulty or like I've played Fire Emblem before, I want to go for hard. But if you play hard, you miss the entire first chapter of the game and like 5 units that you recruit in that chapter. So you don't ever get – yeah, there's no option to say – No, I like my games hard, but I want to play through the first part of the story. Yeah. So your choice is either don't see all of the story or play it on really easy. So I'm playing it on the easy difficulty right now, and I'm running into the exact same problem I had with Final Fantasy Tactics A2, which was that I really, really loved on the PSP when I played it recently. It was hard as hell. Same thing with like chess. You had to know your characters and their skills, and you had to use them intelligently to get victory. And in Final, I finished Final Fantasy Tactics A2 this week after, well, I started it in early November. So you, however many months it's been since then, 72 hours on the play clock, the to and back from work every day for like 5 months. And I never used Life or Phoenix Down once. So that's the kind of game that it is. And so far, Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon seems to be a bit like that. It seems like if you know what you're doing, you'll just curb stomp this game. But it's beautiful, and now I know who Marth is, so that's cool. But I'm gonna keep giving it a shot. I like the flavor of it. You know, like they removed some of the like really hardcore. There's a certain level of twink that's a lot higher than what I'm playing at. That they play those games like they don't play it for the chess like aspect. They play it to break a mechanical system. And they want to just go to an arena and level their characters up to like level 99, who are the same kind of guys who beat the secret bosses in Final Fantasy X.
Right.
Like just people who spend all summer doing nothing but leveling their characters. So they took out that aspect of it. And that part is good. Yeah, like who cares about that? And they added a save point halfway through the level so that you don't have to like restart a 2 hour long battle again, which is cool. I guess, but at the same time, it kind of defeats a lot of the point of Fire Emblem, because when I finished, the Sacred Stones, my character, you know, I loved it. I'd fought all the way up to the final boss, and I had to make the choice to take a swing on this boss at 40% hit. I think that was my percentage. It was like, this is the final round. They are going to hit. Or I am going to hit them and kill them, and it's been 2 hours of setup for this one moment. And I had the sweat on my brow, and I'm looking at my everything on the map going, there's absolutely no way I can do anything else. I have to choose this course of action and commit to it. Select it, character jumped out, hit the boss, and I won the game. And I was just, you know, like dancing. I was in a Tim Hortons at the time, and I was like fist pumping. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, everybody's like, what? But yeah, that like that sweat, that Fire Emblem sweat, where it's permadeath if you fail, but glory if you succeed. You don't get that with Shadow Dragon. But on the other hand, my friend who's never played one in his life is going to go out and buy it this weekend because he's heard that it's not as abusive. So
right, yeah, it's a fine line.
I think it's good. Check it. If you like Fire Emblem, the flavor is the same, and the writing, that you know, the Fire Emblems always have exceptionally good naturalization, and it's the same. So if you really chivalrous leading an army and having lots of like interesting little talking head cutscenes, yeah.
I'll have to go check it out, I think, still.
So that's about it for me.
All right.
Okay. That's all I've been playing.
Can I hit my list?
Yeah, go ahead, AJ. Hit your list. I know you've been itching.
I got a list. Okay, so the first one I'll talk about, because we can both talk about this, Mike, Killzone 2.
I only play a little bit of it, but I've been very impressed.
I am 5 missions into the single player, and I am not Sergeant First Class, whatever's after that in the multiplayer. And it's almost to my surprise, I love this game.
Did you play Killzone 1?
Didn't even touch it.
Because I have never experienced the series, and I've been holding off on buying Killzone 2 because I'm like, do I need to know something here, or is it just
all
shoot
you
shit?
Need to know from what I gather of the first Killzone is that Earth had a colony, and another one of its colonies is like basically seceding and attacking it because they feel that they have evolved to a point where they're no longer technically humans; they are now Hellghast, and they're gonna.
If you were your own race, is that what you would choose for your name?
Well, the planet was called Helgen, you see. I guess that's pre-established. I don't
know. Whatever. Earth.
Couldn't they just be Gelgs?
The minutia of this is not important. Though I will say, I do enjoy the story so far. I really enjoy the world. I think, like, the Hellghast as, like, you know, people you're fighting against in a game are very cool. They have a very strong, iconic image to them with the glowing eyes and the kind of Third Reich-esque gear and everything. It totally works. And I mean, this game is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
It looks so good. Like you can't, like you hear everyone talk about it and you're like, yeah, you watch videos and you're like, oh, that looks cool. But until you've been, like, playing this game for, like, you know, 2 hours straight, and you're just, like, after 2 hours, you're still, like, going, wow, this is amazing. You're like, yeah. Yay.
It's like when you see a Metal Gear cutscene, Metal Gear 4, and you think, shit, like, if anybody developed for this hardware for real, we would have games that looked crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said to you, though. I asked you if you thought it was a better-looking game than Metal Gear Solid 4. You said yes. I don't buy that.
I don't know. I feel like it is just because since you're closer to the action, you get to see more stuff. But I don't
whatever.
Know.
So
do you get the sense that you're only like 4 feet high? Because I've heard that criticism
a little bit. Sometimes it's only if you stop and look for it. I feel like if you deliberately walk up to an NPC and then realize that yes, you're like staring at his navel. If you like, just look straight ahead. But it's really not that big a deal.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't bother me that much. I kind of get annoyed that seems to be the one big criticism everyone's throwing at it.
Just, I think that's more people being cynical.
Yeah. What else you play?
Well, the multiplayer in it is phenomenal because it you don't just like say, like, I'm going to play Capture Territories or Assassination. I mean, you can. But most servers are set up where all the game modes are active and it'll just kind of randomly jump between them, and as you win an individual game mode, you get a point for your team. So you'll start the game, and then it'll just go into a one-flag CTF, which is it's really more like bomb delivery, I guess, where you're trying to drop off a propaganda box or something. And then after your team wins that, they get a point. Then there'll be like 30 seconds of downtime, and then it'll be assassination, where now a target's marked into their team. You got to go hunt him down. Either you do or you don't. Then it goes to territories, and it just flows perfectly, and
that's cool. Phenomenal. It seems so obvious when you say it.
Yeah, you know, right? Like, how did no one think of
why
this?
Why haven't we had capture the flag VIP, hold the territory, and complete objective?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I saw. I'm like, this is such a great idea. Yeah, like, why have we never thought of this?
Until 2009 for this to happen, but it's great. My only beef with the multiplayer is, as a lot of people complained, unlocking things takes forever, and like, it's all stuff that by the time you're that good at the game, you really don't need that anymore. Like, I think I just unlocked, like, shotguns or something. And I've dumped about 4 hours into the multiplayer, and I just got shotguns. That's it.
That's really annoying to me, because I'm not going to spend 20 hours on PlayStation Live fighting people with kills in Killzone. Right. I got better things to do. Why can't I just go in there and do stuff?
I mean, you start with like nothing. You can't pick up. There's no classes you get off the bat. I had to get Sergeant First Class before I could even make a clan, because I wanted to make a squadron of the same clan on there. But like, you know, it's a problem because like there's no medics, because no one has a medic unlocked yet. So like, it's if you see a medic on your team, you're like praising God. It's like, oh my God, a medic. Like, I'm going to wait for you to get me instead of respawning myself. So maybe it'll not be a problem down the road as people unlock stuff, but right now it's kind of annoying. So in addition to that, I also picked up this week Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I love this game. It's so good. I haven't really touched the multiplayer yet because I played it in the beta, but the single player is one of the freshest takes on an RTS game I've ever played, and it's incredible how well.
I'm telling you, it's probably just Warhammer. I don't really know anything about it, but I know Warhammer was good, and rolling dice was fun.
So
and the world was cool.
There's no base building. It's just you and three squads you could take to each mission, and you pool from four squads. So you have your basic gunner squad, your heavy gunner squad, the jump jet squad, and your sniper / scout squad. And it really does play kind of in between like an RTS and an RPG, where there's item drops and experience and everything. But to my amazement, the characters in this game, to me at least, are strangely compelling. Like, I really like all the characters in this game. Cause every squad, it's like the leader is a character, and then they're filled out with the generic units, and the leaders never die. They just get incapacitated. And just, I don't know. I've played more of this single player RTS than like, aside from like Warcraft 3, than I have any other RTS. It's just really good.
If you pick up a Warhammer source book, you'll find like 50% rules and 50% like Warhammer fiction, fan fiction kind of stuff that they write. So they're really heavy into the atmosphere and characters. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, but like, as I was playing Warhammer Online, like, I came to realize how much of a ripoff of that Warcraft is.
Oh yeah, Blizzard totally ripped it off. 100%.
So here's the basic plot of Dawn of War 2. So you're the Space Marines, and you've got these kind of very psionic based creepy dudes who are at war with you, and now all of a sudden a hive mind race of alien bugs is trying to take over the galaxy.
Sounds like StarCraft.
I'm like, I've played Tyranids. This before. Yeah, the Tyranids.
Yeah, but see, it was Warhammer before it was StarCraft.
That's like, I have to remind myself, like, at first I was like, this is ripping off StarCraft. I'm like, oh, wait, this predates StarCraft technically. Oh, jerks. But, yeah, it's phenomenal. I highly recommend it.
Why don't we talk about Watchmen? Because you bought that.
I did. Don't say it like that. I did buy Watchmen The End Is Nigh.
How is the Brawler Watchmen?
Okay,
franchise?
Now here's the thing. I'm
waiting for the Sandman fighting game.
People who went into, like, I read all these reviews and everyone's like, oh, you just mash buttons and fight people. I'm like, what did you think it was going to be? That's what they said it was going to be. Like, you know, it's like getting a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and being like, I don't know. It was just some mashed up peanuts and some fruit in between two slices of bread. Like, yeah.
Even if someone tells me I get a shit sandwich, I'm expecting a shit sandwich. Doesn't mean I have to appreciate the shit sandwich.
No one say anything about shit. It's PB&J. It's wholesome. It's good. It's a little boring, but it's there.
Your
and it's solid.
Your analogy is whatever. Crumbling at the foundation.
I like the game.
Can you play Dr. Manhattan?
No. You are Night Owl.
Can't you just have a win button? Yeah. Push the red button to win.
The C button from the NES controller. That's what it does.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, the game is gorgeous. Like, you know,
a little dark for
you
my
have
face.
To, well,
I couldn't see things.
Your TV's dark.
My bad. It's my fault.
I turn up the brightness in every game I play on it. Anyway, you know, like, the story's pretty cool. It's got, like, the cutscenes are kind of like the motion comic they're doing, which are pretty neat.
I rag on it a lot, but it's kind of fun, especially co-op.
Yeah, co-op's
good. I couldn't play it for more than half an hour at a time, because it just kind of gets
you.
Yeah, I mean, but the story's fun.
You've got some button mashery combos, but, like, it has a kind of a combat flow almost similar to Assassin's Creed, I would say, maybe, which, you know, I find enjoyable. So, there's that. What else is on my list? So the rest is a couple of demos. We got the Legends of Wrestling demo.
Yay! I thought it was fun.
I like it when you do these relive matches where they set up like a classic WrestleMania match in the demo. It's WrestleMania 15, Stone Cold versus The Rock, and you get like bonus points for emulating the match. So like if you throw The Rock through the announce table and smash him into the WrestleMania logo, you get bonuses for that.
Right. And
so
just they took the concept and they ran with it. Cause like the whole thing, there's like video montages of the specific events from WrestleMania. And it's this, and I like that it's not just the SmackDown versus Raw.
Yeah, it's
engine.
More arcadey.
It's a new engine and it's fun.
Yes. And I also played the demo for Chronicles of Riddick Assault on Dark Athena, which is Chronicles of Riddick with better graphics and it's good.
All right.
So
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I love
totally
Chronicles of Riddick.
I love
it
too.
It was one of the best. The atmosphere, I wouldn't call it a shooter exactly. It was just a shooter, shiver, punch people in the face or sometimes jump in. But it just had good writing. Like, yes. I remember thinking, yeah, this is how shooters, first person type games should be. Lots of interesting plot, good atmosphere, good setting. It's all very self contained. So
you done, AJ?
Yeah, I'm done. That is the list.
All right. Well, I've had midterms this week, so not quite as much going on for me. You know, I've been playing Street Fighter 4. I threw a fit, like AJ said. I've been getting into Team Fortress 2 again, like I said last time. I got to play Cyranix. I got to play with him, actually, finally, which was that was a lot of fun. We were doing I think it was one of the control point maps, and he was kind of putting up with me because at one point, like, I went Demo Man and someone Ubered me, and I was like, "Oh shit, I don't play as Demo Man." So I'm trying to like take down a sentry with the wrong gun, and everyone's freaking out at me. But he was all like, "No, guys, it's cool, Tokoto. You just got to use the sticky bombs and four of them." I'm like, "Thank you."
Yeah. Well, us console centric squaddies hanging out with the PC centric crowd, like Boli and Cyranix and Iscariot, they're like, you know,
noobs.
Delta Force.
Yeah.
I love see Delta Force, and we're the yokels.
Right.
Coming along out of the chopper for the rides. They put up with us.
I always love watching
good folks.
Watching my friends list. I'm pretty sure it's Boli. He's been playing that Mountain Blade game or whatever, like, nonstop.
Yeah, yeah, he has.
He's been enjoying
Boli loves Mountain Blade. Did you read his giant review?
No, I didn't.
It's on the squad page. It got me interested for sure. But then if it sucks a month out of my life, I don't know.
Yeah.
Besides that, the big thing I've been playing is my second playthrough of Final Fantasy V.
Yeah, you've been hitting that again.
It's just, I've, just, Yes, X-Death. What a great bad guy name.
Plus, they're super good. Super good.
Plus, the hero's name is Butts.
Depending on what language you play. Yeah,
even so, Bartz is not much better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just one of my favorite Final Fantasies. Just purely from
Which system?
It's I'm playing it on the Game Boy Advance. Yeah.
Okay, because I just played it on the re-release, the one that has a couple bonus classes as well. So yeah. There's like four new jobs.
Mm-hmm. That's the same one I've been playing.
Good stuff.
It is. That job system in that game is just so great. The way you kind of mix and match things. It was so
great. They turned it into Final Fantasy Tactics.
Pretty much.
That's what it is. Yeah, it really is. X2. Which I am probably the only person who likes that game. And
I think a lot of people didn't want to try it just because reviews were kind of middling for it.
Whatever. Me and my very self-actualized 30-year-old male friend at the time played X2 and loved it. We got right into it.
Nice. All right. Why don't we move along? I just realized we're running bizarrely long. This is an epic show.
So I'm going to go through these downloads kind of quickly here. So on the WiiWares, we got Family and Friends Party, whatever. On the Virtual Console, Ogre Battle, The March of the Black Queen for the SNES.
That's exciting.
That's pretty good. So, you know. XBLA and PSN both got The Watchmen, The End Is Nigh. PSP got Killzone Liberation for $15, which, you know. I understand it's a very hard game. There's a demo. You can't get it on the store. You have to download it manually and all that crap, but it was okay. I played the demo. Good old games. We got Rise of the Triad, Dark War, and Seven Kingdoms 2. I don't know much about either of those.
All right.
Not really familiar.
So this week we had Empire Total War came out.
Which is getting some love.
Yeah.
I have the demo. I haven't played it yet.
Halo Wars came out.
I like that.
I'm surprised no one in the squad played Halo Wars.
Nah, it seems like no one was interested.
See, well, I'm not doing that because I got Dawn of War.
Sold a lot of copies.
Yeah.
And I love the Red Alert, so I may check it out.
I like the demo, so, you know.
Tom Hanks's Hawks came out, which I know a lot of squad people liked the demo.
Yeah, I do want to get this game eventually.
If we do get it, we have to do it en masse because there's no point in playing that game if eight of us as a squad can't do radio chatter.
Yeah. Right.
Well, has
grab your socks and grab your throttles, boys.
MLB the 09, the show, PS3, PSP, PS2. I like this series, actually.
Yeah, it's very good.
I definitely prefer it to the Major League Baseball 2K 8 and 9 is also coming out. That's coming out for everything. But I really prefer the show. The Grey's Anatomy game came out for PC, Wii, and DS. Oh,
oh
boy.
God.
Phantasy Star Portable for PSP.
Which wasn't as bad as I was expecting when I played the demo.
Wait a second, did Sonic and the Black Knight really come out?
I guess so.
That's why they're apologizing for it.
It came out already? I didn't even hear anything about it. I can't believe this game came out and I didn't even know.
It's out.
I can't believe that Mad Hazard came out and I didn't know. And then it turned out to be bad.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's on your list, but it dropped this week, and I wanted to love that game so much
from the
time that I heard about it, and then it's bad.
Dang it.
They dropped the ball.
I just wanted them to be like, try again.
Yes, same concept. Do it better.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider Underworld, PS2. Oh, that's strange.
Okay.
King of Fighters 98 Ultimate Match, PS2, which is just the re-release of an old Kingdom Fighters game, which is bizarre to me, because they already have there are so many SNK fighting game collections on the PS2. It's ridiculous. Wii Ski and Snowboard for the Wii. And then Six Flags Fun Park for the Wii.
All right,
so let's get over to this top 10 list. Top 10 Pokemon games. Let's do this.
Let's hit this.
Number 10 is Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness, which was for GameCube and was like...
It was kind of like Pokemon Coliseum with a single-player mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want for each of these games one of you two to explain why I should care.
It was interesting because it was like... There were games called Pokemon Stadium where you just imported your Pokemon from the portable games, and this was like that, but it also had a single-player RPG
element. Yeah, it wasn't as substantial as the GBA ones, but it's as close as we got to like a console Pokemon game, I guess.
Okay.
Nine is Pokemon Pinball. You should care about this because it reminded me of almost like Kirby Pinball. Did you ever play that on a Game Boy?
No, but I could see how it would work.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was cool because he actually did like capture Pokemon stuff. It was actually pretty fun. A is Pokemon Stadium, which I wouldn't put this high because, like I said, it was pretty much just doing Pokemon battles on there.
The announcers are enthusiastic though.
Seven is Pokemon Emerald, which is
the remake of Green.
No,
right? Yeah.
No, AJ.
Yeah, huh?
No,
it isn't.
There was no Green in America. Emerald is just the It was the third one with Ruby and Sapphire.
I'm mixing myself up.
So this is third gen Pokemon, the third game in that series.
Okay.
Six is Pokemon Pinball Ruby and Sapphire, which is just a sequel to Pokemon Pinball. I didn't play this one.
Me neither.
Five is a Pokemon trading card game, which was interesting.
It was a very good representation of the card game.
Right. It was a really early release, and it was for Game Boy Color. So it was actually pretty cool. Four is Pokemon Gen 1, which means blue, red, blue, and yellow. The originals, which were fantastic. Three is Pokemon Snap. There you go, Beige.
Which I played and loved. I retconned it onto my pile. I played it last year on the Virtual Console and nodded. I understand why it's held in high regard.
It was a fun game. Two is Pokemon Gen 2, which was Silver, Gold, and Crystal. I think I like Gen 1 better than that.
I do too.
Wonder why he put Pokemon Emerald by itself and not like just Gen 3. Anyways, go down. Here we go. Number one is Pokemon Gen 4, which is the most recent Diamond, Pearl, and Platinums, and I couldn't disagree. I really do think that is the best Pokemon game I have played anyways.
Yes.
So, there's that.
All right.
Fun stuff. And that brings us to the end of the show.
Oh my god, I'm out of breath.
We can, do our little...
epic.
It was
this
epic.
This is the podcast equivalent of the wall of text.
Yes, it is.
You called down
which
the thunder.
Which you are the master of, so it's only appropriate. I mean, god... Oh man, I just remember those early days when I first joined the squad board and there was Beige and he was doing all these...
ranting. I have a whole notepad file full of other rants that I'm going to write when the squad blogging section goes up, because I just, every time I get an idea where I want to write for like 6 pages about it, I just put it in a notepad file. I got a little stable.
I remember the point where like the squad and shame was like happening. I'm like, how can I insert myself into this? And I was just like, I think all I need to do is make a square sig.
Square icon, you're pretty much good. Yeah.
So then I did it, and I hoped if I just sort of flaunted that thing around, eventually I would be accepted. It pretty much worked.
It has happened,
and
yes.
Here we are today.
And then AJ followed my coattails.
Shut up.
Completely. Yeah, you heard me. But Beige, it really was a lot of fun having you on here. I mean,
I'll be happy to come on some other time.
I hope so.
I want to get a good squad presence on the EBP, so I'm looking forward. It's like Mask. I don't know if you guys ever remember that cartoon, but they always had guests. They had a stable of characters and then random guests that would occasionally pop their heads in for episodes.
Awesome.
And you always cross your fingers at the beginning of the show, like, I hope that Mexican guy that flies the flying dragster is on today. Sometimes he would be.
Nice. I've really been enjoying the episodes you've been doing so far with you, George, and Fiend. Good stuff.
Okay.
So hey, why don't you give us maybe just a little preview? I know that there should be a new Squadcast coming up soon, right?
That's right. We just recorded a Squadcast about game and music, and we were fortunate enough to have Chris Tilton, who is a bona fide video game and television composer, as well as the guy who orchestrated that magnificent one-up show. Orchestral version.
Yes.
On the show. So that'll be hitting as soon as Jedi gets it edited up. We've all got to submit some music, and it's going to be, I think, a fairly production heavy show, but I think it'll be a good one if you like game music. So we managed to talk at length about it.
And excellent. Of course, our current mission is Eternal Darkness, which.
Yep, and that's what, next weekend maybe? I'm not sure when we're recording, but.
I heard early April. As a time
Eternal line. Darkness is in play. So
well,
get your
yeah,
game.
Technically it's in play.
Out.
Oh, shut up.
Because Ad Guy freaking left it in Pittsburgh.
Oh my god.
God.
I'm still trying to debate whether I should play it for the third time and get the super secret bonus ending that you can only get on the third playthrough. So
I'm just gonna murder AJ soon.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. We were the Exploding Barrel Podcast, still are.
Yes.
You can find us at our you can find us now on a SquadronOfShame.com, I guess.
Yeah.
But
you're in multiple places.
Yeah, we're still
over the place.
We're still at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. And so, go wherever you like, subscribe to us to iTunes. Just listen, goddammit, okay? So thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can contact me at tokoto@gmail.com.
adjguy711@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @adjguy.
Yeah.
And Mike is Tolkoto on Twitter. Beige, what kind of contact info you want to throw out there?
You can follow me at waterkanji@twitter.com, or you can just go to the squadronofshame.com where there, all of our Twitter profiles are right. listed.
Oh, you know, it seems like, seems like we get a lot more. We used to get mail, and now we just get Twitters.
Yeah, the Twitters are working for us.
Yeah, it's been going
it's
well.
Some Web 2.0 shit.
It is.
I'm glad that we kind of coined that.
Someone else definitely coined it, and I just stole it from them.
Yeah,
I don't know who. But, all right, everyone, thanks for listening. Have a good weekend.
All right, bye.
Bye.